A coach of mixed martial arts, or MMA, is challenging all traditional martial arts masters after he knocked down a self-proclaimed Tai Chi master. Does it mean that the traditional Chinese martial arts is on the decline? So what's going on right now, as it seems, in the traditional martial arts scene?A lot of eventful things are happening.
Right, right. Well, I have the story details here. I think, put it simple, it's just one guy is taking on the other guy, right?
And that's too simple. That's a bar fight.
Okay, okay, more details, more details. So we have a guy whose name is Xu Xiaodong. He's like a 38-year-old MMA, that's a mixed martial arts coach and promoter. He was very angry with a 41-year-old Lei Lei, who is head of the Lei style of Tai Chi, Chinese shadow boxing, because Lei posted on Xu's personal contact information online last year. And then Xu said that created a disturbance in his life. So Xu frequently claimed in his online video show that traditional martial arts are useless in real combat. That provoked Lei, who challenged Xu to a duel in Chengdu, Sichuan province in April. And the fight took place in front of a crowd at the Yichang Club last Saturday. It was streamed live via Xu's social media account. It was stopped within 20 seconds after Lei was knocked to the ground. It was pretty sad. I know, yeah, 20 seconds. But the thing is, I think when it comes to this kind of thing, it just happens. It often happens very quickly. And also after the fight, Xu announced on social media that he would take on any master who wants to defend the honor of traditional martial arts and would put up 1.2 million yuan in prize money. And several Tai Chi practitioners, including Chen Shou from Cheng Jiago, Henan province, the birthplace of Chen style Tai Chi, say they will take Xu up on his challenge. And interestingly, Xu also challenged renowned Chinese flyweight boxing world champion Zhou Shiming on his Weibo. But Zhou Shiming is pretty, I don't know, well known around the world, right? Not especially very popular in China. But his agent said that he would not take on the fight because that will be a combat between a professional and an amateur. That's the story, basically.
Yeah, so, you know, looking at this, though, people have taken it in a different way. They said, oh, you know, what is this? Is martial arts just an art form, but not actually the strong, practical way of fighting that we thought it was? You know, people are saying, like Xu is claiming, that traditional martial arts are less combat focused. And I will try to paint a different picture, because I actually do not agree. And I think if Xu did less fighting and picked up a book once in a while, maybe like a history book, he'd find that actually Kung Fu has some of the most dire fighting scenarios that has been played out in Chinese history, that has made dynasties and protected dynasties and fought off pirates. Okay, so I want to talk about this. So basically, Shaolin Kung Fu, and I'm using this example because it is among the oldest institutionalized styles of Chinese martial arts, dating back to 459 AD, where it, you know, started on the Song Mountain in Hunan. Anyways, this Kung Fu has become world-renowned. It's one of the largest schools of Kung Fu, as I understand. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the exploits they've had in history, maybe to kind of paint a better picture of what I'm saying here. During a short period of the Sui Dynasty, from 581 to 618, the building blocks of Shaolin Kung Fu took an official form, and Shaolin monks began to create fighting systems of their own. Like most dynastic changes, though, at that time, the end of the Sui Dynasty was a time of upheaval and contention for the throne. The oldest evidence of Shaolin participation in combat comes from 728, which some attestments say, on two occasions, defense of a monastery from bandits in 610, and the role to defeat Wang Shikong at the Battle of Hulao in 621, were some of the oldest accounts, I guess, of them fighting in these battles. The monks were allied. I guess let's talk about when they fought Wang Shikong. The monks were currently allied with Li Shimin, and they took back the Cypress Valley, defeating Wang's troops and capturing even his nephew, Renzi, Also, another time I want to just quickly mention here is in the 1540s and the, from the 1540s to the 1560s, there were some pirates known as the Wuko, that were really doing some bad things to China's eastern and southeastern coasts on an unprecedented scale, guys. The geographer Zheng Rosung provides the most detailed of the 16th century sources, which confirm that in 1553, Wan Biao, vice commissioner in chief of the Nanjing Chief Military Commission, initiated the conscription of monks, including some from Shaolin. Warrior monks participated in at least four battles fighting these pirates. The monks won their greatest victory, though, at Wang Jiao Gung on, I guess, July 21st, 1553. 120 monks, led by a Shaolin monk, Tian Yuan, defeated a group of pirates and chased the survivors over 10 days and 20 miles. The pirates suffered over 100 casualties. The monks only suffered four,
wow,
as the record goes. So here's what I'm going to say. Kung Fu has a strong history and an old history, and where there's smoke, there is fire. And I believe at one point in time, this fire was so strong, and it was a way of fighting, of surviving. And these were not just monks. I think emperors at the time saw these, the power that they could, that these guys had, and decided to conscript them into armies. Because you don't normally would just have priests or monks come fight your battles. But actually emperors and people, authorities, were using these guys because of their prowess.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can see that. But I think it's far from the source nowadays. I think it's become popularized. I think it's become more of an entertainment. Whereas back then, it was a way of life or death.
I have a different opinion, honestly. Well, Mr. Ryan Price, with due respect, I mean, what you said did happen in history, but the thing is, I think today, the traditional Chinese Kung Fu is declining, while MMA is actually on the rise. And I'll say my reasons here. Kung Fu is declining not only because of, we're a different time, but because the nature itself, because Kung Fu is not something for combat. Like, the Chinese culture isn't really a combat culture. The Kung Fu itself, even, you know, the classics, the Kung Fu classics that's written, suggest or emphasize harmony. Like the harmony about yourself as well as harmony between yourself and nature. That's the thing. And also, I think Kung Fu is not as commercialized as MMA as we can see today. So it's not something that can actually create a spectatorship as MMA can actually does. And also, I think Kung Fu today is more for people to build up their bodies and also to keep healthy. That's the thing.
Actually, I don't think we're in that big of a disagreement here. Mm. Now that's what it is, because we live in different times. We have law enforcement. Things are much safer. Back then, someone raided your place by bandits and you had to fight. But the thing is, fighting fists, these kinds of things, that's not a technology that's ever advanced.
Mm.
It's always been there. And people have, since 459, been training to fight. But I think there was a drop-off at some point where this became less of a way of defending yourself and more of a way that is like an art,
right,
that just got popularized. But there was a time when it was an actual way of killing or being killed and defending yourself. And I really believe that. I also want to say that don't let one fight destroy your faith in Kung Fu, because I guarantee the best Kung Fu masters probably are the ones you haven't heard of.
Hmm.
But if your faith was ever dependent on one fight, that you think Kung Fu is completely useless because of this one fight, then you never really had faith at all.
Well, I think our listeners might be interested to see that Ryan is actually defending Kung Fu itself while I am actually speaking for MMA. I'll say this. I think MMA is becoming more popular than Kung Fu nowadays because of the following reasons. First, it is more like a commercial enterprise these days. Like, look at the money that people can actually make from the spectatorship that they create, like UFC. And also, it's a system. Like, it's a system where you can, you can build up the tension, the expectation from the very beginning. You know, the trash talk between the different fighters, like, leading up to the game, as well as the huge amount of money, a huge amount of watchers who are actually going on the site to see the fight. And also, like, there's a stardom phenomenon that's in MMA, like, the female fighter Ronda Rousey, like, she is so popular. And also, the MMA is more like an industry. It has a different sideline products that's attached to the industry. So it is very commercialized, very developed, advanced. I'll say that.
Well, okay. I'm not arguing that MMA is popular. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, when it comes to the practicality of mixed martial arts and whether it's better than something like Kung Fu, I disagree. And I don't think one fight should ever be the decision between that. I'm saying that history shows that these guys who have been, what you have said, inner peace and completely in harmony with themselves, have been the guys that the emperor has called on to defend. Because probably they were really good at Kung Fu and fighting, which both of these ways of martial arts do the same thing. But I think what people are really kind of concerned about is Kung Fu really practical and useful in fights? And I think that's what I'm trying to convince you of. Well, and that's what I'm saying is, maybe in its current form, yes, in some way, in its current form. But at the same time, too, you know, I have the very basic research of kind of the basic skills and whatnot. Maybe some of these Shaolin Temple monks learn. One of them is, you guys can correct my Chinese if I'm wrong here, Jibin Gong. This includes the stamina, flexibility, and balance, which improves bodies. You know, a lot of these guys, they work out, I think, in very superficial ways. I'm sure they stretch a lot, but nowhere near probably to the extent of maybe some of these guys in the Shaolin Temple. Also, let's say the Qigong. This is meditation, right, which is also internal and, as I understand, stationary and external. But, you know, I don't know very much about this. I just know what I was able to research. But I've always believed where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's tons of smoke coming from the legend of Kung Fu and why it's known around the world. I don't think that's just coincidence. And what I'm saying is that I think actually, you know, you talk about these guys in MMA, they're worrying about their paychecks, they're worrying about their big fight, they're worrying about their fame, they're this, they're that. I don't see maybe some of the real practitioners, the guys that you would really want to represent Kung Fu, being those that worry about these things. Because I think finding inner harmony, meditating, these kinds of things, centering oneself, it doesn't sound like that would be in conflict with maybe some of these more popular and more pure forms of Kung Fu.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And actually, you guys, both of you, managed to piece together, I think, the history of and development of Chinese martial arts, or Kung Fu in a more colloquial term, as it has been popularized around the world. And I think certainly MMA is becoming a little bit more popular, and it's being promoted fiercely, as there's a lot of money behind it. But when it comes to traditional martial arts in China, it's considered as a national heritage, and it has been popularized and glamorized by my favorite author, Jin Yong, Liang Yusheng, so many of these guys, that they have written in a special genre called martial arts or
novels.
Yes. And so I think for Chinese people, even the younger generation, we all have that Kung Fu master or martial arts master who also try to achieve like moral perfection in our hearts. So I think this is a huge
legacy.
A legacy and a concept that is very easy for all Chinese people to grasp. And therefore, we're always curious. As like Ryan says, there's so much smoke and fantasy around this concept. Then if we put this ancient idea into a modern scene, when you put a traditional martial arts master in the ring with MMA fighter. Or it's sort of like in my head, to put it simply, having Jet Li, Li Lianjie, and Rock, Dwayne Johnson, in the same ring and make them fight. And I am curious what happens. But here I think the comparison is not completely fair. Mm. Like you guys have said, and I've also seen some internet users or practitioners of traditional Chinese martial arts, as there are so many different schools. Even with Tai Chi, there's Chen, Stream,
different
Wu Stream, Yang Stream. There's so many. And they're saying that this is maybe comparing apple to oranges, or comparing a sword to the detrimental effect of maybe a gun, because it's completely different concepts.
You can't really compare.
And so a comparison as such, or a defeat of the Tai Chi, according to some self-proclaimed Tai Chi master, Lele, that we've never heard about before, and I see that some Tai Chi people are not happy about this, that they want to barnish the reputation now. So it doesn't show the whole picture, or maybe let us understand properly what is going on here.
Right. I think, the kung fu is only as good as its user, actually. So I would say maybe Lele, maybe he's a good, definitely better than me. But maybe he wasn't the one that wielded kung fu the best. The thing is, kung fu can only be as good as the person wielding it. But I think it is a powerful sword that has been used throughout history to win battles. And I want you guys to know that, what we know about these maybe like warrior monks that have played a vital role using kung fu in China's history. We know from certain stories or certain geographers, like I had said. But I think, if the emperor had called on them or officials had called on them once, they've probably been called on multiple times. And we just don't have the records, because 459 is a long time ago. I think, though, that they are, I would say MMA and kung fu are on a similar stage, though. I don't think they should be compared like a sword and a gun. I think what has happened is kung fu's usefulness and for what it was created for, maybe, and, what it was used for back then in these kind of battles, and what it was at that time, was its epitome of its fighting style, right? Mm-hmm. But as the epitome and the need for that kind of use of it faded away, it's become a way of entertainment. It's become a way of exercise. And it's not what MMA is being developed into. MMA is now at that peak where maybe kung fu was in its history, where monks were using it while they were fighting in war. So I just think maybe the two are seeing different times, different periods in their usefulness and practicality as they come into the fighting stage.
But that's a problem, though. Like, we, as He Yang has said, like, there are a lot of legendary heroes or heroines, like, in the martial art novels. Like, people look up to them for their morality as well as their fighting style.
Absolutely.
The thing is, like, look around you. In MMA, you know a lot of people who are actually very good, who are, like, beasts. But in traditional Chinese kung fu, you look around you, don't necessarily know anyone who's actually famous for
because
that.
You said it yourself. These guys want fame. That's why they do this. That's why they're in the gym every day. That's why MMA has so much money and it's trending all the time. Yet, these guys aren't in it for the fame. They didn't start to be what you're talking about when it applies to kung fu is a Bruce Lee. Is it maybe like a Jackie Chan? Those aren't the representation of the kind of kung fu which maybe is the most practical when it comes to fighting. That's where the money is, maybe, in the practitioner of kung fu, entertainment, exercise.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we don't see that kung fu is, or traditional martial arts, which is a huge umbrella term that includes kung fu, includes tai chi, includes kung tong pai, or there's a
knowledge of kung fu.
You know your kung fu, girl.
I do, because
don't mess
I'm
with He Yang is basically what she's saying.
Mei pai, or
yeah, so many of them. So it's something that is a rich part of Chinese culture. Yeah. But why do you see the decline? I see you guys have said that there is the practicality of things, which is kind of on the decline because people don't need to defend themselves the same way as knocking you down and injuring you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, on that, I'll still stress that the point that the Chinese culture isn't really a combat culture. Like, people don't necessarily fight for the purpose of fighting. It's more that Kung Fu is just for, like Ryan said, entertainment or art, or just simply keeping yourself healthy.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is part of the Chinese philosophy in this.
But I would say it's had its uses in this kind of thing in Chinese history. In Chinese history, would say that as well. Yes, Yang.
Yes, definitely. I do agree with that. But also, I think you guys have touched upon briefly, as I think we need to do a little bit of a comparison to see why there is a decline in Chinese traditional martial arts, as in you see the popularity and the spread of Japan's judo, and also South Korea's
taekwondo.
Right.
And that is huge. You've got practitioners everywhere, and they have included themselves into a modern system of training, of spreading this. But I think with Chinese Kung Fu and traditional martial arts, we fail to do that. And I think it's been considered maybe to its disadvantage that it has been seen as a cultural heritage. So therefore, the practical side of things have not really been implemented, I feel.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll say this. I think it's also a part of the reason is that the Chinese people are waking up to the practicality of Kung Fu, because I think, I don't know, in the past few decades, we were just too busy developing the economy, and now we are realizing that we can actually build up the body by, you know, using Kung Fu.
Yeah, there's this guy on YouTube who practices the traditional archery thing that was done back in the past, and you should see how efficient and fast he can shoot an arrow and how accurate. And it's a lost art form, but he started following these texts and whatnot of how these archers in the past were able to do almost incredible things, and it's on YouTube. You can see this guy doing this.
Yeah.
I think maybe what Kung Fu was and what people still think it was has been popularized, but maybe it was that in the past, and now it's something that's different, whereas MMA, it's here, it's now, and boom, there's money in it, so, you know, it's trending. Boom!
Yes. And also that might be why Xu Xiaodong is trying to promote this, and by stirring up all this controversy, which is actually very exciting. And I think if you look at it in the bright side, that maybe this is a way to create what is called disenchantment, popularized by Max Weber. That is to understand the world in a more rational way, as a lot of this mystique has disappeared. Maybe the smoke needs to disappear a little bit more. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and our lovely friend. We'll be back